Gracias, Señor, por Juan Carlos y Sonia. Te pido tu bendición sobre sus vidas. Te pido tu unción sobre ellos, que durante esta semana, a la espera de la cirugía el viernes, que tú puedes interceder también por nosotros y por ellos. Que no solamente pedimos una curación, sino una sanidad, Señor, total. No entendemos todos los problemas que podría existir en su cuerpo, pero sabemos que tú eres el Dios todopoderoso y también el Dios que puede sanar. Te pido tu sanidad en su cuerpo, Señor, este viernes o antes o después, pero que tú seas el Rey que recibe toda la gloria. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén. It is a privilege for Lisa and I to be back to Northridge. We feel at home at Northridge. We spent 4 of our best years here as youth pastors in Northridge, and kind of it was a school, it was a training for us. We were able to go to school at Northridge and learn a lot about ministry, and we kind of grew up a little bit, had our first daughter here at Rex Hospital, and it's always just fun to come back and be a part of this family. The Alliance Missions asked us as missionaries to go and kind of go with the message, and the message is, called to regions beyond, and so we want to do that. We want to explain what the mission's asking us to do. But first, I want to share a little bit about my family. Olivia is the one kind of above me in the dog pile there. This is the tribe, and she was born here at Rex Hospital. She's now married and lives in Maryland. Her husband works for cybersecurity in Odenton, Maryland for the government. And Michela is the one below Lisa. She's our second born. She's a missionary with Inca Link in Peru, and she just came back this last week with us as she's going to get her master's degree in education. She feels like education is going to help break the cycle of poverty with the kids at risk that she's been working with. Our son Josiah graduated from Tocoa Falls College back in May, and he's studying sports psychology. He wants to be a coach, and so you can imagine he's studying all the sports to be able to be a good coach. He watches more sports than even I like. And then Alexa is our last born. She's 19 years old, and she's in the University of Central Florida, Valencia College, and started her first year there and is studying psychology as well. Kids study psychology to analyze their parents. So they're trying to figure out this crazy upbringing that they had. I want to also show a little video from Corban. Some of you might remember Corban is the missionary band that came here in 2009, 2010, maybe 2012 as well. I can't remember. But what does a missionary band mean? It means that they go to towns that no one else goes to. They've gone 4 hours by mule into a community, and the whole community comes because they never have concerts. And so they've been around now 19 years, and this is their latest video. Just launched a couple months ago. It's in Spanish. We'll give you a little idea. We won't watch the whole thing. But continue to pray for the band. They're continuing to do music and helping us reach the youth of Latin America. You get the idea. So this means in Spanish, it's with your joy, I'm going to sing. And so they're trying to take joy in music around Latin America. They've been in 20 countries now. And some of them grew up in the garbage dump and are serving as missionaries. So it's incredible to see how God is using them. We are on Spotify. So if you have Spotify or know what that is, go and find us there and differentiate us from the other 150 Corbins that are on there and like some of our music. But the band members have all grown up. Some of them were in our youth group in Peru, most of them. Nietzsche, the lead singer, is now pastor of a lead. He's the lead pastor of a church of 1,400, and where Lisa and I used to serve as youth pastors. He was just installed last Sunday, so it's cool to see him there last Sunday. And then Percy, the bass player, is a missionary in Ecuador and a co-pastor of a church of 800 in Ecuador. And Daniel, the guitar player, is a missionary in Honduras. Just got married last Saturday, a week ago Saturday. And Jose, the drummer, is doing graphic design and doing well as well. So, and of course, Lisa, my wife, is singing and doing mission work as well. So keep praying for us as we try to take the gospel in music. I want to tell you a story. Some of you have heard it before, but it's a story of when we were in Argentina visiting my in-laws and our kids were really little. Who knows what we eat in Argentina? Steak, some of the best steak in the world, asados. And so we're sitting, eating a great asado at Christmas time, and after you eat a great steak, you have to wash it down with ice cream. I was thinking wine. Ice cream, we're at church. And the kids were young. And so we went to the ice cream shop. There were so many people at the beach at Christmas time. Why? It's super hot in Argentina at Christmas time. So they had the roads closed off for people to be able to walk. And so when we went to the ice cream shop, I was with my in-laws, my brother and sister-in-law also have four kids, lots of kids. We went into the ice cream shop, and one by one, we were giving the ice cream to our kids. And then instead of going out the main door, we went out a side alleyway because there were too many people in the main door. And so we started shopping about 20 minutes past, and Lisa came to me and said, "Rich, have you seen our daughter, Michela?" She was 3 years old at the time. She's got to be somewhere, you know, so many kids. And she was missing. And so Lisa went running back to the different shops that we had been shopping in, and I ran back to the ice cream shop, and I said, "Have you seen my daughter? She's 3 years old." "No, we haven't seen her." And I ran out into the streets, and I remember screaming her name, "Michela, Michela," and crying. As a parent, you think the worst. They've cut her hair, and they've sold her off into slavery somewhere. And as I'm running and screaming her name, I'm thinking, man, what a terrible parent. Parents know one thing, you're not supposed to lose your kids. And in the distance, as I was screaming her name and listening, I heard clapping. No music, just clapping. And it registered in my mind that years earlier, my wife, who's Argentine, she was born in Argentina, she had told me that in Argentina, when a kid is lost, the people who find the kid will clap until the parents come. What a great idea. I don't know why the rest of us don't do that in the rest of the world. And so I went running to where I heard the clapping, and sure enough, there was Michela surrounded by people who were trying to help. We had taught her not to speak to strangers, so she was kicking them off. You know, she had ice cream all down her shirt, and I knelt down next to her, and I said, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry, but I'm here now." And then I remembered Lisa hadn't found her yet. So I picked up Michela, and I started looking through the multitude of people, and I was like, "Wow, where's Lisa?" And in the distance, I saw her as she was screaming Michela's name. And she was, I know, she's a beautiful woman, my wife. But in those moments of horror, her face was almost disfigured as she was horrified with the fact that her daughter was lost. And when I'm not saying she was ugly. She's never ugly. But in those moments of being horrified, she was in just screaming out her name. And I remember signaling to her and saying, "It's okay. I've got Michela." And she went back to her beautiful self that she is today. When was the last time you were horrified by lost people? God disfigured himself on the cross for us because he loved us when we were lost. And he loves it when we also reach out to those who are lost. The Alliance has taught us many things, and some of the things that they've taught us is how to take the gospel to some of the least reached nations on earth. This woman in this picture, when she was young, she was very sickly, and she was one of seven children and the most sick of all of them. But when she was 17 years old, she went to church for the first time, the only Alliance church in Louisiana, Centerville, Louisiana. And she went and she heard a missionary speak. And God compelled her to give her life to missions. But she was so sickly, her mom said, "I don't think you're going to survive on the mission field." Shortly after that, she went to Tocoa Falls College to study to become a missionary. And she was excited about being trained and going to the least reached nations and to the regions beyond. And she fell in love with a man whose name was a name like her oldest brother that was her favorite brother. And she heard his name in class and wondered, ooh, I wonder who that guy is. Later they started to date. They got married and they were both called to the mission field and they had this compelling to go. But she was still sickly. The mission doctor said, I don't think we can send you because you're just too sickly. And so they gave her medicine, but it didn't really work. And then he kind of said, you're on your own if you want to go, but I don't think it's wise. My mom and dad arrived in 1963 to Ecuador. Latacunga, Ecuador. My mom gave 45 years of her life with my dad there and passed away 11 years ago today. At 69 years old, she said, I would never change a thing. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. She said, I'd do it all over again. What is the mission that God has called you to do? All of us have a mission. What is the mission that God is calling you to do? As the Alliance talks about taking the gospel to regions beyond, you have a key part in that. But the mission's also asking us to talk about fresh clarity in a complex world. Missions is different today than in my mom's and dad's day. It's completely different. My parents went there to Ecuador for 45 years, planted several churches, were dorm parents, and reared 150 kids or helped rear with their parents, of which 145 of them are walking with the Lord today. They had a great ministry, but it's different today. Lisa and I are going back to the mission field in July after home assignment as nomads. What does that mean? That means we don't have a home base. We go and we do 1 to 3 months in each country of Latin America until we reach the 300 million youth in Latin America. So we have fresh clarity in a complex world. Look at what this verse says in Luke. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. God loves it when someone comes to know him and when a lost person is found. The Alliance has come together as we're looking for fresh clarity in a complex world. We have lots of missionaries who do lots of things. But the missionaries can all be categorized in these three categories. Every missionary of the Alliance can be found in one of these three categories: serving communities, multiplying church networks, or developing people. With Inca Link, the organization that the Alliance asked Lisa and I to start to help bridge the gap between the mission in Latin America as they've been pulling out to focus on unreached people groups, they've asked us to start Inca Link and help bridge that gap. And so what Inca Link is doing, what Lisa and I have been doing, is helping in serving communities. What does that mean? Some of you remember the garbage dump videos that we've shown before, where kids have literally eaten the garbage before our eyes. You have to understand that in Latin America, the used toilet paper goes not down the toilet, but to the garbage dump. I've seen a child about 8 years old reach through all that garbage and grab a half-eaten apple, and I couldn't tell it was an apple, but he lifted it up with joy in his eyes and saying, look what I found. Look at this treasure and eat it right in front of me. There's nothing more humbling than seeing people eat the trash that we throw away in our day and age. But we have organizational opportunities like the daycare center that some of your people came down on a missions trip years ago and helped build. And now the person that we've been sponsoring for over 10 years, she's now graduated from high school. She's the first in her family to go to university. She's the children's pastor in the church that her parents have started. And she loves Jesus. She's serving in the daycare center as a volunteer. Praise God. We're starting to see changes in these people, but serving communities is one of the things that Inca Link does. Another thing is multiplying church networks. We are planting churches, Alliance churches, in Costa Rica, San Jose, Costa Rica. We have a retired ex-missionary couple with the Alliance who will never be sent back with the Alliance because of their age. They're in their late 60s, mid-60s. And they're going back to plant a church in San Jose, Costa Rica with the president of the Alliance. And we're planting churches in Quito, Ecuador, and Lima, Peru. But we're also developing people. We have a jungle missionary training institute that's training our Waurani, Quechua, and Shuad communities in the jungles. Those are the Waurani used to be known as the Alcas. And we're training them to be missionaries themselves up and down the Amazon basin. So that's what the Alliance is doing. The Alliance has over 700 workers, and they're working in 70 people groups in 142 cities around the world. That's why when Dan talks about being a part of this community at Northridge, being a member, it's important. When you're a member of not just Northridge Church and the ministries that Northridge represents and the family that we're a part of, even here in SEEK, if you can go to that, that's going to be amazing. I wish we could go. But also, you're part of an organization that's reaching people around the world. And it's a movement that is planting churches around the globe. Inca Link is doing the same. We're trying to help on our side of the world, which is Latin America. And we exist to reach the 300 million youth in Latin America. We have 29 missionaries that are not Alliance missionaries, but they raise their support and come do Alliance work with us in Latin America. We have 100 nationals that are serving in our different projects in six countries. So we're serving in Ecuador, Peru, Colombia, Honduras, and Costa Rica. We have the States as well, and we're opening Canada this year as well. Here's some of the impact that Inca Link's had in the last decade. Some of the different numbers of things, but we asked all of our staff, hey, in the last 10 years, how many people were exposed to the gospel through your ministry? And 2.2 million people have heard the gospel through Inca Link personnel. That's not Lisa and I, that's our people. And then we asked them, so how many of those 2.2 million accepted the Lord and are following Jesus to this day? They're being discipled in the faith, and over 151,000 people have come to know Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's amazing to see the number of people who are giving their lives to Christ and following Him. But there's still 300 million, of which only 20% of them are reached. We're going after them. We're trying to find them. That's why we're going to go from Mexico to Argentina and try to find as many of the Latino youth that we can to see them come to know Jesus. And by the way, 10% of the 300 million youth are in the United States. You can help us reach the youth of Latin America right here in the United States. We're looking at that as well. So the other day, yesterday, we had the Live Oaks, and some of you already practiced, so you can help everyone else understand how we do this. But we reached 300 million youth four ways. So hold up your hands like this, if you will. Four ways we're reaching 300 million youth. First is evangelism and discipleship. Second is training leaders. We can't reach 300 million by ourselves. We got to train others to help us with the 300 million youth. And third is short-term missions having a long-term impact, and Northridge has come down on several occasions to help us with that. And fourth is compassion ministries or social work, the garbage dump ministries and the teen pregnancy centers and all these different ministries for the needy. Turn it upside down. So the compassion ministries attract our short-term teams. We'll charge you a little bit more when you come with us so that we can train our leaders and do the evangelism and discipleship. So when you come with us, you're actually helping us do the ministry. And we love, you can drop your arms on somebody, rest it a little bit, it gets heavy. So that's how we're trying to reach the 300 million youth in Latin America. So not only do we need fresh clarity in a complex world, we also need to see that there's emerging opportunities. What we love about the Alliance is there's a lot of ministry opportunities for all of us. Look at what this verse says in Matthew. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The Alliance has allowed people from different levels of mission opportunity to go. And that's what's happened. So how many of you have drunk Coca-Cola before? Raise your hand. You ever had a Coke? Is it good for you or bad for you? It's good for you, yeah. That's really good. It's delicious. It's good. I don't know if it's good for you. Is Coke free or does it cost? How much does it cost? Depends on the size, right? A dollar if it's, you know, big ones, little ones. Coca-Cola had this vision and mission statement over 100 years ago to put a Coke in the hands of every person on earth. Do you think they've reached it? Remember the movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy? Coca-Cola has given access to everyone on the face of the earth to Coca-Cola. They haven't all necessarily drunk Coke, but they have access to it. How long have we had the gospel since Jesus, right before the ascension, said, go and make disciples of all nations? How long has that been? About 2,000 years. Is Jesus good for you or bad for you? Is he free or does he cost? That's a trick question. He's free and he'll cost you your life. I don't know about you, but it bothers me that Coca-Cola in 100 years do what we haven't done as a church in 2,000 years. Now, I know it's different. You know, they just kind of translate the word Coke and put it in a bottle or whatever and sell it. And we have to translate the Bible. We have to have missionaries that go and learn their culture so that it can be contextualized so we can tell them the gospel in their culture, not in our culture. It's a lot more complicated. I understand that. We have to plant churches that will then plant more churches. I understand all that. But it seems like if Coke could do it in 100 years, we could do a better job in the 2,000 years. Let me explain to you a little bit about the difference between countries and nations. You know, when it says go and make disciples of all nations, the word for nations actually means ethnic groups. And so when we say go and make disciples of all ethnic groups, we can see this graph here. Nigeria is one country. We could say, well, Nigeria has the gospel. But there's actually 544 nations within Nigeria that may not have the gospel. Just because one has it doesn't mean the others have it. I like to use this graph with waffles, not pancakes. When you put syrup on a waffle, it doesn't always get into all the squares, right? You have to pour it in all the squares if you want to get it in all the squares. Sometimes it'll be in one square, but not the other square. The syrup doesn't spill over all the time. And that's how it is with the gospel. Imagine this waffle is a country. The country has lots of different ethnic groups. Some of them have the syrup and some of them don't. Just because one of them has it doesn't mean that the country is reached. We have to reach them with syrup in all of the squares in order for it to be a reached country as well as reached nations. How many people, ethnic groups, are there in the world? Approximately 17,000 ethnic groups around the world. How many still don't know Jesus? Approximately 7,000, 41% of those still do not know Jesus. What does that mean? That means that they could be born, they could be raised, go to school, get married, have children, get a great job, grow old, have grandkids and drink Coca-Cola, and never hear Jesus. Never hear the name of Jesus. That's why the Christian Missionary Alliance is such a great movement, because they're going to some of these nations and ethnic groups that don't have access to Jesus. They're planting churches that are contextualized so that people can come to know the Lord. I also want to talk about United for Expanding Gospel Access. The beauty of the alliance is we're coming together again. We've been out and kind of doing things separately. We're coming together again. Let's read this verse together at the count of three. One, two, three. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The alliance is full of beautiful feet. They're taking the gospel around the world, but to do that, they have to be sent. Now look at this graph that the alliance has launched this last year. We have different types of alliance missions. And there's been a lot of confusion in the alliance. Well, wait a second, Envision, are they real alliance missionaries or not? And Comma Services, I mean, they're still kind of raising one. Well, how does it work? And this is what I love about the alliance is now they're saying all of Jesus for all nations, and we're all in this together. That's an old song from a High School Musical. But we're all in this together doing the ministry to reach the world. Comma Services, what are they about? That when there's a tsunami or an earthquake, they're about coming together and raising relief funds to help in those countries. Marketplace Ministries is about professionals here in the States that already have great professions going to another country and being missionaries there, tent-making missionaries. Access is church planting missionaries that are kind of the traditional missionaries of the Alliance that we've known of before. And then Envision is about thinking new ways to reach the next generation, not just millennials, but Gen Z and everybody else behind them. How can we think this through and do short-term missions to have a long-term impact? Now we're all on the same level. Lisa and I have actually been serving both under Access and Envision. We're looking now at, we don't need two bosses in the U.S. Alliance, we just need one. So we're looking at moving to one or the other. You can be praying for us about that. But as we serve, we're doing it all together, and we're doing it different ways, but all for the same purpose. This video shows a little bit of what the Alliance is doing around the world.
On an isolated mountainside in East Asia, impoverished villagers are learning trades to better provide for their families. As they work, they hear the story of Jesus in their own language. Generations before them struggled as subsistence farmers, living in fear of evil spirits. Alliance workers are here, helping these villagers have a better life and hope in Jesus. Near a dusty plain in Southeast Asia, littered with landmines and remnants of war, a network of home churches is bringing life where death once ran. People are meeting Jesus. Sisters share with brothers. Neighbors share with neighbors. Former enemies are finding unity. In this area once considered a wasteland for the gospel, vibrant Alliance fellowships are springing up. In a sprawling West African city, a young man once called cursed for his physical deformity and turned away by his family is hearing a different message. Love and acceptance, a family to belong to, a new identity in Jesus. As many of our workers disciple him, his life was transformed. He can't help but do the same for others now. God is opening up new pathways to ministries like these around the world. As a movement of Alliance believers, we follow Jesus' example and commands, loving and helping people in his name. We are serving communities through vocational expertise that impacts the whole person and their society. We are multiplying church networks that create even more churches to serve the unreached in their communities and beyond. And we are developing people who will disciple others to be leaders with a passion for Jesus. From our founding, Alliance people have come together to take the gospel to the neglected places where Christ's name has not been named. Today, more than 3 billion people still have little to no chance of hearing the good news. But God is forging new pathways for his people once out of reach. He is calling us to join him, to follow him to regions beyond.
As we follow him, we're a part of this movement. And as we pray for our missionaries, we're a part of this movement. And as we give to the Great Commission Fund, we're a part of this movement. I mentioned in the first service that there is a change coming in the next year, 2021 probably, where we're going to be having missionaries raising part of their support. You're like, wait a second, Great Commission Fund's already always paid our missionaries. That's true, and we're going to continue doing that. But missionaries have always been raising part of their support. We've always been raising our car funds. Remember, Northridge provided us with a car in Peru our first term. Also work special funds. And now they're adding compensation and benefits as part of our raising. What are they wanting to do? We need more resources to send out more people who feel compelled and called to go, like my mom did, like my dad did, like Lisa and I have been doing. And they're ready to go, but the resources aren't there. So the idea is we'll be starting probably 2021 or 2022, raising part of our support and hopefully engaging more people in Alliance missions. That's the goal. So be looking for that. I'm going to give you a little heads up on that so you know what's coming. But be praying for our missionaries. That makes a difference. We need your prayers. We loved it that after the first service, people came up to us and said, I'm praying for you. We need that. Inkle Inc., as we're continuing to grow and see the momentum go, it's like a snowball. It's really going fast. We're looking at growing at great speed, but we want to do things well. And to do that, to keep the momentum going, we need monthly donors. People will sponsor a kid like Compassion International or someone who's interested in giving monthly and haven't been giving to the Great Commission Fund. All of that helps us. Give to where you can make a difference for Inkle Inc. We have a new vision called 2020 Vision. I know nobody else has thought about it for 2020. We're the first to think about it. It's a 10-year vision to where we're going to open 10 new countries for Inkle Inc. in 10 years. That means we have to find the couples that will be called to go. We have to find the projects on the ground that we can connect with. They're already doing a good job, but with a little help and resources, they'll be able to do even better. We're looking for 100 people or churches or organizations that can give $1,000 a year. That's $84 a month. And in the last month or two that we've been raising, we already have 62% of that raised. Praise the Lord. We're looking for 38 more people that'll say, hey, I'm going to jump on board and help you open 10 new countries in 10 years. That's one of the ways you can help. Short-term missions. Thank you for sending teams with Inkle Inc. Like I mentioned earlier, that helps us do the ministry. But also long-term missionaries. We're looking for people almost of any age that God is calling to come and join us at what we're doing there. It's a calling. It's not like, hey, that's going to be cool to go. It's a calling. It's going to be hard. But if God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. Whatever God is calling you to do, do it. Don't do anything else. Do what he's calling you to do. Some of the opportunities we have are internships that come down. Our youngest interns are 18. Our oldest was 75. You can come. Missionaries and then staff. Anything that God is calling you to do, even if it's not as part of our staff, be a part of what we're doing in Latin America. So this is where we've been the first few years of Inkle Inc. Since the last time your team came down to visit us. We were in Ecuador, Peru, and Colombia, and the U.S. U.S. is a funnel to get the resources to the field. But then this last year, Honduras was opened in, by our guitar player in Corban. He got married last Saturday, and he's moving there in a month. And then Costa Rica with the couple we were telling you about, and then Canada to get more resources to get to the people. And then in the next 10 years, we're looking at 10 of these countries. How do we determine a country? We squint our eyes, and I say squint our ears, to see and hear what God's already doing and adjust to what he's doing. And if there's those countries, those people that are on the ground already doing it, and it's a good fit, then we will try it out. So this is Inkle Inc's story.
Seeing 151,000 decide to follow Jesus. Through 15 ministries in 4 countries, Jesus' love has been seen through meeting practical needs such as food and water, a safe place to play, grow, and learn, and ultimately to hear about the God who loves each and every one of them. But these 2.2 million lives receive this hope, not by the few, but by the many. Inkle Inc missionaries have chosen to devote their lives to live in community with the people in Latin America through unwavering compassion, divine connections, and relentless service. The boots on the ground are supported and encouraged by the thousands that have put their faith into action. Some have given their time as several short-term teams bring hope and encouragement each year to the ministries. Countless have given their resources and finances to sustain and create environments where we can meet one need at a time, causing a ripple effect into reaching communities. Each person that moves, goes, and gives to Inkle Inc supports our mission to reach the 300 million youth of Latin America with the irresistible love of Jesus. Without our Inkle Inc partners, these 2.2 million lives would have never had access to the gospel. Become an Inkle Inc partner. Let's reach millions more.
I love this verse in 2 Peter 3:8. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. I love this because Northridge is completing the gospel and has this in mind. I love coming back and hearing the updates on how you're reaching people here in Raleigh. I love hearing about the basketball ministries and the small groups on Monday night and the feeding, what do you call it, the feast and Feast and Feast. And all these different ministries are doing the gospel. I thank the Lord for you and for what you're doing. And God is being patient with us. He wants us to do more. I was telling Pastor Sam before this service that in Latin America we say, just as much in Jerusalem as in Judea as in Samaria to the very ends of the earth. That's what the Christian Missionary Alliance is about. We do it home. We do it farther outside in the state. We do it in the country. We do it in other countries. Have you ever almost had a near-death experience? I had a near-death experience not too long ago. I was with Todd Sullivan, a friend of mine from college, who's now the missions, the extension pastor in the Central District and church planning pastor. And we were in Ecuador, and after a retreat, we decided to jump in the water, and the waves were so big, we wanted to measure the waves. And so he said, why don't you go stand underneath the wave, and I'll measure from the fingertips to the top of the wave, and then we'll know how big these waves are. So I went over there, and I was like, you know what? No, I'm too afraid. He said, I'll do it. So he went in, and he's standing underneath the wave, and I'm measuring, and it's about 10 feet total, because, you know, from his arms up. And I'm like, this is crazy. Before long, we're both being dunked wave under wave after wave after wave. And when that happens, you try to stand up and you hit your head on the ground. You don't know which way is up. It's like a washing machine. And as I'm trying to fight for my life and for a breath, I remember my whole life passed before me. And I was like, okay, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. Here I go. And you start thinking about all the things in your life. And it was amazing as I went through that, and I don't know how a gust of water pushed me to the top, and I got another breath of air. And as I got that breath of air, I realized I was going to make it. Todd was already out. He had made it out. He thought he was going to die too. And as I'm trying to swim, there's a lifeguard that has the life jacket in his hands, and he's saying, come over here, come over here. And I'm like, throw me the stupid jacket so I can get there. Don't you think I'm trying to get over there? I'm trying to get out? Sometimes that's how we are as Christians, aren't we? We're standing in the church and we got the life jacket of Jesus saying, hey, come over here. What I love about Northridge is you're going out to them with the life jacket and saying, I'm taking Jesus to them so that they can be saved. But when you have a near-death experience, it makes you reevaluate everything. So I was reevaluating everything. That's where we actually came up with the 10, opening 10 new countries in 10 years. And I was realizing that verse in James that says, our life is but a mist. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. Or one day is like 1,000 years. And so I got out my calculator, because I'm not good with math, and I figured out approximately I've lived 51 years on this earth, so about approximately 72 minutes in God's timing. You can kind of add up your age in there, you know, get some numbers and figure out how old you are, but it is. Our life is a mist. My mom came, and she was here 69 years, and she's gone. My life seems like it's forever, but, you know, I almost drowned, and I realized, oh, my goodness, any day now. But what am I doing with my minutes? What are you doing with your minutes? Are you completing the mission that God has called you to do? Lisa and I are trying to spend our lives completing the mission that he's called us to do, to reach the 300 million youth in Latin America with Christ's irresistible love. Will you do one thing today before you go? Go on the QR code, or if you don't know what that is, go on to the website. Somebody younger than me put that on there. And tell us, give us some feedback. But also give some prayer requests. Usually the missionary comes to church and, oh, we pray for the missionary, but we want to pray for you. We have a staff at Inkle Inc. that will get this, and we'll actually pray for your needs. We'll be praying for Sonia on Friday. But how can we pray for you? Let's pray. Lord, what a blessing it is to have a mission that you have given us. But our prayer and our desire is that we not just listen to the mission, but that we may complete the mission with the Holy Spirit's help. I pray for everyone here today, whatever their mission may they be faithful in doing the mission, in completing the mission. And I can't wait to get to the end, and I hope we can all hear those amazing words when you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. We long for that day. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.